You're listening to the cycling podcast at the Vuelta a España in association with Rafa, celebrating the sport and producing the finest cycling clothing since 2004.
Hello, my name's Richard Moore. I am with Lionel Burney.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Lionel. Good evening. This is our first day of coverage from the Vuelta a España, though we're not actually there yet. Daniel Freeb is there, but we haven't managed to track him down today. Where's he gone?
He's obviously very busy, isn't he?
Well, we'll have him on the show from tomorrow onwards, certainly. So today was day one. We'll also be going out to the Vuelta soon. We're having a sort of gentle start to this third Grand Tour of the year, aren't we?
We are indeed. It wasn't originally on our race programme for 2016, was it? But we've shoehorned it in to do an Adam Hansen or Alejandro Valverde and complete set.
A late edition. And you're going to do your Tale of the Etapa.
The Tale of the Etapa, indeed. Yes. So stage one, a team time trial, 27.8 kilometres at Orense in Galicia. And first off were Bora Argon, and they set the fastest time, obviously. But they stayed top of the leaderboard for perhaps a little longer than they might have been expected. It was a very strong ride from them. Astana were the first team to push them close, finishing a second behind. And then Etix Quickstep were the first team under 31 minutes. And then they were toppled by Orica Bike Exchange, which was a great result for their GC contenders Esteban Chavez and Simon Yates. BMC Racing, who are the team time trial experts par excellence, they're the reigning world team time trial champions, and they've got a string of World Tour team time trial victories behind them in the last two or three years. They were the pre-race favourites, and they were up at all the checkpoints, but they faded towards the end, and they missed out to Orica by a second. Then came Movistar, who smashed Orica's time. Even though they were split into two groups of three on the run-in, they got it together in time to hit the line, and that's a big result for Alejandro Valverde and Nairo Quintana. But then came Team Sky, and they hit the line almost in a dead heat, very, very close. We think it was about 0.4 of a second that Team Sky beat Movistar, and they have put Peter Kennock into the red jersey because they won the stage. Tinkoff were last to finish the race, and they came 8th, 52 seconds down on Sky and Movistar, so that means Alberto Contador has lost quite a bit of time already to the likes of Froome, Quintana and Valverde. Tomorrow is 160 kilometres second stage, and it's likely to finish in a sprint, which will be interesting because there's not many big name sprinters here.
No, that could be interesting. And the team time trial was interesting. I mean, team time trials are always interesting if slightly odd introductions to Grand Tours. And what we saw today, Lionel, was really the big four pulling ahead. I mean, BMC, Orica, Movistar, Team Sky, the sort of time they put into some of the other teams is really not insignificant. Quite, you know, sizable gaps already, certainly back to the likes of Contador. You know, Team Lotto NL Jumbo did pretty well. They were sixth at 28 seconds, but those top four teams are really in a league of their own.
Well, they are the more established team time trial units, aren't they? They rarely have a bad one, and consistency is the key in an event like this. You could tell some of the teams, I mean, Tinkoff, for example, they stuck together and had the majority of their riders all together at the line, which probably cost them. It sounds sort of counterintuitive, but when you can use up your kind of strong rouleur types in the early part of the course, and then, you know, leave them behind and then power onto the line with having kept people fresh, or you can use your climbers for the hillier parts, because there were a few hilly parts on the course as well. So
it looked flat, didn't it, on the profile, but it was there were some ragged teams out there, and they looked like, especially in the first sort of couple of kilometres, it was quite tough.
Always the way, isn't it? The profile can sometimes be misleading, particularly on a sort of team time trial where the overall pace is so high that you know, anything more than a kind of small drag is going to really test the legs of the riders, particularly those weak links in the team. And of course, it's not necessarily about who the strongest riders are, it's about protecting who your weak links are and making sure that you don't shed men at the wrong times. And, you know, Team Sky, Movistar, Orica and BMC probably are the best equipped for that kind of stage. And it was a marked contrast to last year's team time trial, which was a bit of a wacky races, a bit of a farce in the end, wasn't it, down at Puerto Banús, where they were going along the beachfront, and then along across a wooden bridge and then sort of over the round the windmill and then onto the pedalos.
It wasn't the cycling equivalent of what do they call it? Funny golf.
Crazy golf.
Sorry.
Funny golf.
Sky may be quite surprising winners, given their sort of slightly makeshift look. It's a sort of mix and match team. Not a team that's ridden together very much. Some fairly left field picks in there. Mika Landa was a late call off. David Lopez was drafted and he didn't last the distance with the team. But it's usually prearranged, isn't it? The rider that crosses the line first in the event of the team winning and that rider taking the jersey. And it was Peter Kinnock for Team Sky. Quite surprised that it was Alejandro Valverde for Movistar. I mean, here is a guy who's been talked about as a favourite for the race, even though it's his third Grand Tour of the year. I was quite surprised that he was the guy that crossed the line first for Movistar and very nearly took the race lead. He was 0.4 of a second away from taking the race lead.
Well, yes, possibly, but I mean, he's a man with tremendous pedigree, and I wouldn't have thought the Welter's not the sort of race where you're going to pay a huge price for holding the red jersey early on. You know, I think he's certainly seasoned enough to cope with that. In fact, I was looking at his Vuelta record. In fact, his Grand Tour record is incredible. The consistency, but the Vuelta is a class apart. He's finished third, fourth, second, fifth, first, second, third, third, and seventh. Last year's seventh place, his worst finish in the Vuelta since 2002, when he didn't finish. I mean, that is quite some. Consistent performances, and so I wouldn't have thought he would worry too much about being right up there straight off the bat.
And he was third at the Giro and he was sixth at the Tour de France, so he's going for a pretty amazing hat trick of high overall places in Grand Tours. I mean, I kind of expected Nairo Quintana to be the designated leader at Movistar, but it seems from all the pre-race build-up and talk around the team that it will be Valverde. A little interesting point, Fran Reyes, the Spanish journalist, noted that while most teams were riding 56 tooth chainrings, Sky won 58 tooth chainrings.
Wow.
That's big. Wow. That's a big old gear, isn't it?
It is a big old gear, yeah. But particularly for any of the little climbers who've got to get on top of that gear and then keep it going. Not everyone would have been on such huge gears, but then if you've got teammates who are, they're cranking up the pace. We saw Darwin Atapuma of BMC Racing, who only a small guy, and on the faster parts of the course it looked like he was struggling to stay on the wheels. It was almost like a motor pacing effort for him.
It's interesting, isn't it, with a team like that, because he is clearly a guy who can ride well and perhaps into a high overall position given how mountainous the Vuelta is, and to ride as fast as the team is capable of riding while also keeping a guy like that in contact is quite a difficult balancing act. So they did very well. On Darwin Atapuma, he was riding the Tour of Utah, of course, a couple of weeks ago, and rode very strongly there. He's ridden very strongly all year. And while I was at the Tour of Utah, I also spoke to Larry Warbass of I Am Cycling. They're riding their final Grand Tour before the team folds. Sorry about the Whitney Houston in the background there. I'm in my local cafe. But yeah, I Am Cycling riding their final ever Grand Tour, and that's quite an odd situation. They rode very strongly actually today, finished with all nine riders together. One of them is Larry Warbass, the American rider who featured in our Friends special, Young Americans, earlier this year. And at the Tour of Utah, I spoke to him about the Vuelta and about the team coming to an end. Here is Larry Warbass. So Larry, sort of the last few weeks of your team, which must be quite sad, but you've got a Grand Tour, another Grand Tour. The Giro was a disappointment for you, obviously, but how are things looking for the Vuelta?
Oh, I think they're looking super good. I'm really, really excited to go back to the race. It'll be my third Vuelta, and I've just, honestly, since I had that problem in the Giro, I've just been looking towards that race, so it's all been really a build up until then, and I had a great Poland. I think, the form's really good, but altitude, I'm struggling a little bit. I think it's going to really set me up well, though. I'll be here almost 3 weeks and then go back to Europe about a week before the Vuelta, and I think, I hope I'll have great legs.
You mentioned in a blog that you wrote, I think, about there was a problem that you had at the Giro where you said that you're always kind of mixing things up a bit with your training, trying new things, and you just maybe got your preparation a little bit wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of cyclists are the same, but I'm always probably pushing it too hard. And, you know, I don't know, it was a bit weird what happened. It was something with my muscle pinching a nerve, but I think it was really just sort of a big buildup. You know, I was really pushing myself to the limit the whole spring, and I think my body just kind of couldn't handle the load, so...
We heard, it was a recipe analogy you were using, wasn't it? We heard during the Giro about the team obviously folding at the end of the year. Did that come as a surprise to you?
Actually, it was a huge surprise to everyone. You know, even our head director I apparently didn't know about it until the announcement was made. So it was a big shock, but, you know, yeah, that's how it is, I guess.
How is it then going into a race like the Vuelta where, you know, guys are still fighting for contracts and so on? I mean, how is it to go into a race like that in a team with team objectives and so on? Is it difficult, or are you sort of galvanized by this huge goal that you all have just to keep yourselves in a job next year?
I mean, it's difficult, but I don't think it's difficult in relation to team goals or team tactics, because if you do a great job helping your teammates, that doesn't go unnoticed. You know, if you're smashing on the front on a climb, you know, they're going to see that. And, you know, especially with our team, there's always good chances to go in the breakaway and race aggressively. So, you know, it should be good.
What's the jobs market like for next year?
It's tough. You know, I think it's tough for everyone. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, I had a great ride in Poland, so hopefully that'll help. But, yeah, I mean... It's probably going to be coming down to the Vuelta again like every year for me. So whether I have a contract or not, it's a huge opportunity, and I'm going to give it everything. So
Eurosport, the home of cycling.
Thank you very much to Eurosport, who, as well as Rafa, are our sponsors and will be helping us to cover the Vuelta, especially when we actually get out there, which will be towards the end of the first week for me and towards the end of the second week for Lionel. A bit of housekeeping for Eurosport, because we always tell you what's coming up on Eurosport. I made a bit of a mistake in our regular podcast this week, Lionel. It's maybe the first time that's happened.
I refuse to believe it.
I know, it's extraordinary. But I said that the women's race, the Women's World Tour race being broadcast on Sunday morning on Eurosport 1, was a team time trial. The team time trial in Sweden was, of course, on Friday. It was won by Bulls Dolmans. Who else? The race being broadcast at 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. on Sunday morning is a road race. They open to Swed Vargarda, and that is on, as I said, at 9 a.m. on Eurosport 1, commentary by Rob Hatch. And also on Eurosport on Sunday, as well as the Vuelta, which is of course being broadcast from start to finish every day, live on Eurosport, the Hamburg Cyclassics at 5 p.m. So that comes after stage 2 of the Vuelta on Eurosport. So lots on Eurosport over the next few weeks, clearly. Anything else catch your eye today at the Vuelta, Lionel? Another team that's not ending. I mean, it's a Grand Tour that will mark the final Grand Tour for both IAM, and we heard from Larry Warbass earlier, and also for Tinkoff. But also another team that is kind of the start of a new beginning for us, Boran. They were a very impressive ride by them today. They were first off, as you said earlier. They were pretty well placed overall, as I just check where they actually finished then. They were 10th, which is decent. And I think it's an interesting race for them, because I think a lot of those guys are still riding to be involved next year in what will be a much bigger World Tour team, with Peter Sagan involved, of course, as has now been confirmed. So lots at stake for those guys. And, you know, this third Grand Tour of the year is always interesting, because there are riders and teams riding for very different reasons and motivations.
Well, there are. And it's also a race where riders who we've perhaps not seen a great deal of in the past suddenly come to the fore. I mean, last year's race was the big breakthrough for Esteban Chavez, and then he backed that up at the Giro d'Italia this year. He was fifth overall last year. That was a big step up for him. And Tom Dumoulin, of course, you know, came within a couple of days. I know his collapse on the last weekend was pretty spectacular, but he was within a couple of days of actually winning the Vuelta. So you see really outstanding breakthrough performances. I think Louis Menkes of, MTN Quebeca as they were then, he's back in the race this year for Lamprey, having finished in the top 10 at the Tour de France earlier this summer. He was 10th overall in the Vuelta last year, and I suppose it's very tempting to look at people and think that they'll be able to back up, in the case of Menkes, back up a good Tour result with a good Vuelta. But it's always one of those big tests for a rider, particularly a young rider like Menkes. How does he perform, having already battled his way through the Tour de France, giving everything every single day? You know, will he still have enough in his legs to go for a high overall finish here? Or will he target stage wins? And it will be really interesting over the 3 weeks to see which new names come to the fore.
You mentioned Louis Menkes there, Lionel. I don't think he's going to be doing much in this Vuelta. Lamprey Merida were terrible today. They were last team, 2 minutes, 8 seconds down. Of the guys that were, the young guys we might expect something of, Pierre Latour, the young AG2R rider, 22 years old, a lot was expected of him. Might see something of him in the Vuelta, although again AG2R, very disappointing ride, 19th on the day, 148 down. Overall, there's quite a few teams languishing already at the back. Of course, that doesn't say anything about individuals' form within those teams, so anything could happen. Disappointing ride for Miguel Angel Lopez, the Colombian on Astana, who dropped his chain on that first drag, you know, within the first few minutes of the team time trial. And Astana kind of rescued it a little bit, but still, you know, almost a minute down, 11th on the day.
Well, that, for somebody like Miguel Angel Lopez, that might actually turn out to be a blessing in disguise, because he was the rider who won the Tour of Switzerland in June. Very promising young Colombian, I think only 21 or 22, I think. And, you know, he's the sort of rider who could have quite an impact in the mountain stages and will be completely freed up. He hasn't really got a team leader to work for. I suppose Michele Scarponi is, or Dario Cataldo are their overall hopes, but they're really the sort of riders who could aim for the bottom half of the top 10 and probably no more. So Miguel Angel Lopez is one to watch, as is Britain's Hugh Carthy, who's riding for Calle Rural, and this is his first Grand Tour. He'll be joining Cannondale Drapac next year. He's a young lad from Lancashire. He's only 22 as well, and he's had some quite eye-catching results in Spain this year, 9th overall in the Tour of Catalonia earlier this season. So another one to watch. It'll be interesting to catch up with him when we get to Spain.
Absolutely, and a decent ride from Cannondale Drapac, although I noticed Joe Dombrowski missing a few turns there. He won't particularly have enjoyed that team time trial, coming to his own as the mountains appear later on in the race. Fresh, of course, from the Leadville mountain bike race where he was second a week ago, so no surprise really that to go from that to the team time trial at the Vuelta may be a bit of a shock to the system. And we should probably wrap things up there, Lionel. I want to keep this brief, and we want to keep all these sort of early podcasts brief, I think, until we get out there and we manage to get on the ground and do some interviews and speak to people. I would like to actually just flag up something that a very unfortunate thing. I mentioned earlier the Open de Svedvargarda, the women's world tour race in Sweden tomorrow morning, which has been broadcast in Eurosport. Very sad news that the Drops team, a British team, had a couple of bikes stolen, including Alice Barnes' bike stolen overnight. So I hope that they can sort that out in time to actually start the race. But that was very sad. They're an amateur team, new this year. They featured in episode 1 of the cycling podcast Femina. A lot to admire about that team, and very sad news that they had a couple of bikes stolen overnight. So I hope they find a solution to that.
Keep them peeled. Yeah,
keep your eyes peeled for some treks, some quite small treks belonging to the Drop cycling team. Let's finish things there, Lionel. Thanks very much for tonight.
Thank you, Richard.
Let's do it again tomorrow.
Indeed. Yeah.